It's a passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian church. But how many of you know that this does not just apply to the Ephesians, right? This, you know, the Apostle Paul didn't tell him these things because they were Ephesians. He told them these things ultimately because they were believers. And it's very important as we approach the Word of God to realize that these things were written to us, to the church, to the body of Christ. So as we read these words, we got to realize this is the inspired word of the Lord speaking to me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." That verse 16, I'm just going to read it one more time. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We've talked earlier, well, throughout this year, different times about the armor of God, sword of the Spirit we did a couple months ago, and just kind of the armor, our weaponry, different things like that. I've just kind of felt led, you know, this year, kind of along those lines. And this morning, I really want to take a look at this particular armor, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Couple other translations. Amplified, lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Good news. At all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. New Living, in every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Okay, just different ways of basically saying the same thing. But we see clearly here, and one of the things I just want to draw your attention to, first of all, is just kind of the latter part of that verse. You know, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's quite a promise in the Word of God right there. If I know how to take the shield of faith, if I understand this piece of my weaponry, I will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, before we kind of delve into the message this morning, we're going to take that verse, we're going to break it down in the Greek, we're going to look at a bunch of those words and try to get a little bit more light and focus. You know, sometimes it helps. You know, you can look at something and, you know, in the natural, you put it under a magnifying glass a little closer and some things will jump out at you. That's kind of what we want to do with the word here. We're going to take a look at a few words, look at them very specifically, and I think as we look at some of these words, they'll kind of help bring out the meaning clearer in our hearts. The word, first of all, for shield is thureos, and it literally means a large shield. As door-shaped, okay? A large shield is door-shaped. And it comes from, that's thureos, which comes from the root word thura. Apparently a primary word, a portal or entrance of a closure, an opening, a door, a doorway, gate. So this is a shield of faith, all right? But it's a thureos. It's a large door-shaped shield, the way it's described. Vine's Expository, a thureos, formerly meant a stone for closing the entrance of a cave. Then, a shield, large and oblong, protecting every part of the soldier. The word is used metaphorically of faith, Ephesians 6:16, which the believer is to take up, just as has been mentioned, as affecting the whole of his activities. Okay? So this is a large shield. This is a fully protecting shield. It would have to be, wouldn't it? If it's going to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, it would make sense that it is a large oblong shield, something great in capacity. Also, just looking at the word take, you know, it says taking the shield of faith. Literally, in the Greek, that means to take up, to take in unto. All right? So it's not just like, I got the shield of faith, it's taking it up. There's a taking up of the shield of faith that's referred to in the actual word taking there. It means you are actually taking it up, you are getting it in position so that it can quench those fiery darts. And then finally, looking at the word faith, okay? So it's this doorway-shaped oblong shield that we're taking up, and it is a doorway shield of faith, which again in context here, literally means firm persuasion. A conviction based upon hearing is used in the New Testament, always of faith in God or Christ or things spiritual. All right, so it's not just any old doorway shield. It is a shield of persuasion, firm persuasion of what God has said. All right, you can almost think of it like this. The shield of faith is really like a doorway of persuasion that quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. The shield of faith. Again, remember, this is metaphorically. He's not talking about a literal physical shield. He's talking metaphorically about something that is protective in nature. It's large, oblong, covers the whole soldier, and it's a shield of faith, firm persuasion in what God has said. Taking up, above all, taking up that shield of faith, that doorway of persuasion by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Okay? Just a little groundwork as we go forward. This morning we're going to talk about, very specifically, taking up the shield of faith. What does that look like in real life when we as believers take up the shield of faith? We understand the metaphor, we can see it in the natural, how a soldier would do that, but how does it look for us in our everyday walk with the Lord as we endeavor to take up the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the devil? First of all, as we delve into it, just a few, I'm kind of going at this message in a form of several exhortations, okay? The first one would simply be this: don't fear the darts. This is very important. Before you even take up the shield of faith, you can know something about those darts that you're taking that shield of faith up. There are parameters. There are restrictions in terms of Satan's darts as far as what he can do, what he can't do. He is limited, the things that are coming at you. First of all, let's take a look at some of the, we'll kind of call the limiting factors, the parameters, the limitations of Satan's darts. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. All right? Now, really what I want to draw your attention to there is that whatever he's got at you, whatever that dart that's coming at you, it's common to man. It is common to man. In other words, whatever dart is coming at you has already been previously quenched millions of times by other believers in your situation. Common to man. Amplified puts it this way: for no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. The message simply says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. In other words, the stuff you're going through, yes, it can be painful. You know, those fiery darts are fiery. They're fiery for a reason. They're painful. They're distracting. They have a lot of effects on us that the enemy wants and intends. But one thing that we've got to realize about the darts, first off, is that we don't have to fear the darts in that these things are common to man. These are things that people have experienced for years and years. So what are darts? Well, one form of darts certainly is temptation. You could say darts of flesh, okay? If you look at Galatians 5:20, I don't have it there, it bullet points the different types of the works of the flesh. These are the pulls that come on you. Categorically, it's sexual sin, greed, hatred, anger, drunkenness, all different kinds of passions and pulls that you've bumped into with this flesh and have had to overcome and walk in the Spirit. You know, those are one area of darts that he has. He will utilize what the Apostle Paul said, the law of sin and death, which is in my members, that wars against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So there are flesh darts. All right? There are darts of flesh that will come from your own passions, desires, things that'll come up from this mortal body. Okay? Those are one category of darts that you're going to have to deal with. Another category of darts that you'll deal with are darts of offense. All right? What are darts of offense? That's basically, you know, it's bad enough to deal with the darts of your own flesh, but the darts of offense are basically when you have to deal with other people's flesh, okay? People yield to their flesh and they take it out on you, or they hurt you, or they come at you, all right? So there are darts of your own flesh, you know, passions, desires, selfishness, and there are darts of offense, which are basically just the darts of other people's flesh. You've yielded and missed it and hurt other people. Other people have yielded and missed it and have hurt you. Okay? We're just talking about darts right now. It's common to man. There is nothing, you know, no secret weapon that the devil has that can destroy you and take you out. It's common to man. There are other darts that we could talk about. Darts of fear. The Bible says we have not received a spirit of fear, a spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received a spirit of adoption. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. There will be fear, demonic attacks that will come as suggestions in your mind. Different things like that. So these are kind of in nature the kind of darts that we're dealing with. But the point is, regardless of the dart, it's common to man. It's nothing that we have to be afraid of. Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. That's strong stuff. That's an Old Testament promise. How much more under this new and better covenant? Praise God. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amplified. What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? Okay? And then finally, 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Little children, amplified, little children, you are of God, you belong to him. You've already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is mightier than he who is in the world. You see, what are we kind of seeing that point over and over and over again? You know, yes, the devil has darts. Yes, he has things he's hurling at us. But we have God. We have the shield of faith. We have God on our side. Powerful thing. We have the greater one in us. See, the weapons of our warfare, it says in 2 Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. The weapons of Satan's warfare are very carnal, very natural, very much appealing to the natural flesh of man. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. The weapons of his warfare are mighty through deception. He's got to deceive you to get him to work. He's got to get you to lower that shield of faith for that dart to be able to get through. So we're talking about darts. Don't fear the darts. Put it this way, the shield of faith is greater than all the fiery darts. No matter what he throws at you, the shield of faith can extinguish them all. So groundwork before we even talk about lifting up the shield of faith. Whatever is coming at you, I can tell you it's common to man. I can tell you that it has been extinguished by believers in your situation for years and years. There is no dart that he has that is extinguishable by the shield of faith that we have. So we don't have to fear the darts. Be aware of them, But know their limitations. Know the scope of what that is that you're fighting against. All right? Now, the next aspect I want to talk about as far as taking up the shield of faith is, what we'll say is get firmly persuaded. Okay? Don't fear the darts. Step one, as far as taking up the shield of faith. Number two, get firmly persuaded. The scripture tells us here about in Romans chapter 4:20. This is talking about Abraham. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. All right? Abraham got fully persuaded. Here's a question, though. Did Abraham start out fully persuaded? No. There's a very interesting documented kind of play-by-play of him working with God. You know, we know that he had Ishmael, and that he thought, well, maybe God is going to do it this way. So he took his wife's maid, and they tried that, Hagar. And obviously that wasn't God's original plan. We also see that he was kind of talking with the Lord one night and just kind of negotiating about one of his other family members that he could be the one to carry on the line. And the Lord takes him outside and says, look up at the stars, Abraham. It's coming through you. See all those stars? That's going to be the number of your seed. It's coming through you, Abraham. Somewhere down the line, Abraham got fully persuaded. Now, this is an important aspect when you talk about walking by faith. You don't start out fully persuaded. Do you notice that? There's a process of getting fully persuaded. What is the shield of faith? That faith is what? It's a shield of firm persuasion. The shield of firm persuasion, where you are persuaded. You are persuaded about something. You are persuaded about what God's Word says. Persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. You know, your natural reasoning can tilt. Certainly this old guy, having an old wife, no way biologically possible. But he got to the point where he just believed that God was able to perform that with you. He tried some natural loopholes, said, nope, don't try to spiritualize it. Just, yeah, it's as amazing as it sounds. And he got to that place where he didn't stagger at the promise of God, but he was strong in faith. There is a process of getting firmly persuaded that happens. Because, again, as you begin to walk by faith, as you begin to live by faith, you begin to realize that those darts that they come at you in the terms of what people have said, thoughts in your mind, you have got to choose which thoughts you are going to lay hold of. You got to choose whether you are going to believe and hold on to that Word of God. See, that Word is what is like the shield for you. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the Word of God as a shield. We're talking about His words as the thing that is what you are firmly persuaded in the face of those arguments. This is how Jesus fought the devil, isn't it? When the devil said, turn these stones into bread, what did Jesus say? It is written. Man shall not live by bread. He didn't argue with the devil about the stones. He didn't argue that, I really am the sinner. No, really I am. You know, I would turn those into stone. No, he just said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? He said, you know, fall down and worship me. I'll give you all the kings of the world. It is written. Worship the Lord your God only, and Him shall you serve. What's Jesus doing there? He's not engaging, is he? Have you ever tried to play mind games with the devil? Play mind games with fear. Play mind games with, even though if it's darts of flesh, you will mind game and your way into doing what you know you shouldn't do. If it's darts of other people's flesh, you will mind game your way into being justified in your bitterness. If it's mind games with spirit of fear, you will spiritualize worry. You can't mind game this stuff. I've found in my life personally, mind games with the devil equals depression. He will wear you out. He'll just wear you out. He's had thousands of years of practice on people just like you, pushing buttons, and he'll just get you to chase your tail. And it's just like, but there's something about, it is written. What does that mean? Dart here, I'm here, word here. It's a shield. You know, there's kind of a popular expression in our culture today. It's disrespectful, but you know, here some people say, you know, talk to the hand, all right? You know, what are they saying? They're saying, don't talk to me, don't bother. Okay, I'm not advocating that as far as people. You walk in love toward people, right? You suffer long in your kind. But you don't walk in love toward the devil. You walk in your authority toward the devil. In other words, when the devil shoots fear my way, I don't suffer long and be kind with fear. No, I'm suffer long and be kind with other people's flesh. But I resist him steadfast in the faith. When he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, I don't just kind of suffer long and be kind with his suggestions. No, I resist him. There is a resistance. I get the word up in between me and that dart. You know, and that dart of fear says, you're going to go under. There's no way you can make it. Your needs are not going to be met. You know, everything's going to go bad. Put that word in there. Praise God. My God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Talk to the word. Talk to Philippians. I don't have to fight that battle. I don't have to bring closure to his confusion. I don't have to answer every accusation. I need the word. I need to be firmly persuaded that what God has promised, he is able to perform. That he is able to perform the meeting of my needs. It may be a spirit of fear. Praise God, I put it up there. I mean, there's a plethora of situations that we can stop right now and choose to think of what could go wrong and choose to be afraid. But there is a word of God that we can say, it is written, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. How's it going to work out? How's that going to work out? How's that going to work out? It is written. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I can let my request be made known unto God, and man, I stand on the word of God, and I allow those arguments to come against the word. I am buffered. What is it? It's a shield for me. The word is a shield. Are you hiding behind a shield? Yes. Are you hiding behind the word of God? Yes, I am. I am hidden behind the word of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If it's Ed House versus the dart, Ed House is going into depression. Ed House gets the word up there and says, it is written. There is power in the word. The word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide us under the soul and spirit. And there's something about those arguments hitting the word. The word can absorb the what-ifs that my natural mind can't. It's not cheating. It's your shield. It's right. It's the hiding place. The way of his words are pure. They're true. He is a shield. His truth is your shield. That's the way we're talking about taking up the sword of the Spirit. You understand? There are some people who have, you know, if you think of weaponry, there are some people who have amazing weapons on the wall in their home. Maybe it's a great samurai sword. You know, and they got plaques and it's authenticated and it's the real deal and it's true and it's amazing. It can do all these things. Well, sometimes people do that with the Word of God. They're proud of their belief in the authority and the integrity of the Word of God. And they'll challenge you that the Bible is the Word of God and the world is wrong, but it sits there up on their wall. You got to get that thing off the wall and in your hand. You got to get the shield in your hand, begin to declare the Word of God. That Word is for you today. It's for now. It's not for you to be proud of that God did something. Thank God He did it. But He did it for you to have for now. To be a shield. To quench now fiery darts of the devil. There are things that word can absorb that your natural reasoning can't. And you've got to take it up and trust in. Be firmly persuaded. It's a doorway of firm persuasion that His word is true. I love what it says about Abraham here too. You know, or almost kind of say what it doesn't say. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what He had promised He was able to perform. He didn't believe, he didn't know how, when, where, he just believed that. That firm persuasion gets firm when you come to the conclusion just that He is able to... See, he tried to help God out before, didn't he? Trying to bring to pass His promise. But he got to the place to say, look, I just believe that it's going to happen. I say, I don't have a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I have the spirit of a sound mind. I have the spirit of a mind that can think logically and clearly and be at peace and be sound. Yeah, I do. But what about I believe? I am firmly persuaded. That's what I have. According to it is written, 2 Timothy 1:7. I have the spirit of a sound mind. And when you begin to believe what God has said in His word, it will absorb the fire of those darts. Somebody once put it this way. Said, if Satan can get you in the arena of natural reasoning, he'll whip you every time. If you keep him in the arena of faith, you'll whip him every time. Jesus didn't argue with the devil, did he? He just said, it is written. It is written. It's a shield. There is a getting firmly persuaded. You got to realize that's what happens when you begin to meditate in the Word of God. You begin to speak the Word of God. You begin to declare the Word of God and think about it, meditate, ponder. What are you doing? You're getting persuaded. Persuaded in that shield. Getting persuaded. Because again, really when you look at the raw word for shield, it just literally means, from that root word, it means portal or door. It's just a portal or door. A portal or door of faith. There are portals and doors of fear. There are portals and doors of flesh. But it's a shield of faith. It's a doorway of firm persuasion in God's Word. Above all, taking up the shield of faith. Developing firm persuasion in different areas. I can tell you in my life, there are areas I have firm persuasion. Shields, you don't want to say 100%. I'll say, they're up there, 90%. You always have room to grow, right? But I'm just saying, shields are strong, strong, strong. And there's other areas, my shield might be more of a hand shield. I'm developing, okay? That's where we are. There's a getting fully persuaded. So it's not like you got the spiritual intimidation, I should have everything. No, that's why I grow up spiritually. That's why I allow myself to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm building and developing shields of firm persuasion in different areas of my life. God's developing and growing me in the area of relationships and walking in love. He's growing me in the area of in trusting Him financially. He's growing in the different areas of just His plan for my life, laying down the weights and sins that so easily beset me, and dedicating my life to God. Those are areas He's just developing in my heart, in my life. And so those things, they happen... they happen gradually. That's what I want to say. There's a process of renewing your mind. And as your mind is renewed, the Bible says there's that transformation that takes place. Big difference between brainwashing and mind renewal. Brainwashing is something that comes at you from the outside and is imposed on you to try to get you to believe something. Mind renewal is very intimate, very personal. I mean, you can take whatever the preacher says and forget it, I mean, this stuff, this is the core of your heart, your being. When you begin to say, okay, yes, Lord, I know I've thought this way for 20 years, but it's been a poor shield. Now I'm going to begin to renew my mind according to your word. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is it? There is a getting fully persuaded. This is kind of the point. Whatever darts that you're dealing with, there is the shield of faith to extinguish it. But it's not just neglecting, it's not running away from, it is finding what it is written in the Word and beginning to build that in your spirit, build it into your inner conscience, your mind, your heart, praise God. And it has a diffusing effect. So you've got the process not only of not fearing the darts, but we also need to get firmly persuaded Okay? We need to get firmly persuaded, praise God, that that it's true. And I got a quick example here. Okay, got those. 2 Corinthians. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood. They're mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? Into the obedience of the Word of God. Arguments, theories, reasoning, proud and lofty things that set themselves up against it. That's what you would call darts. And we take them in on purpose, take them away captive into the obedience of Christ. You know, it's kind of, we've seen this scripture from different angles. But see this scripture this morning from the angle, from the perspective of faith. What is that? You're bringing those darts into captivity to the shield of faith. You're taking the reasonings, the theories, and the things that are arrayed against that the enemy has, and saying, no, you got to reconcile with this. All right? Here's an example. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's the word of the Lord when it comes to forgiveness. I've been around enough in Christianity now to see spiritualized bitterness. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. I will say this in my own life. I've been guilty of it. Spiritualized bitterness. There is something about us human beings that we feel like our own bitterness or anger or fear that it's going to happen again is the better shield. Do you know that bitterness is a horrible shield? God's love is the true shield. Now, it's right about this time in the service that people think, yeah, I know what Jesus said about love, but I'm not going to be a doormat. I'm not turning the other cheek and 70 times 7, but I'm not going to be a doormat. I'm not going to be a doormat. I'm not going to be a doormat. Bitterness is what makes you a doormat. Have you noticed? The enemy can come along anytime he wants to and get you seething angry anytime he wants to. And he might depart from you for a season and wait. You start getting your legs spiritually and come back and bring it back up again. He can just use it as a weapon. Bitterness is what makes you a doormat. Love doesn't. In fact, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. That includes the fear of being hurt again. See, bitterness tries to control the fear of being hurt again. Perfect love casts out all fear. This is supernatural stuff, isn't it? You don't want to get into arguments. You don't want to get into natural reasoning arguments. Yeah, but you lift the shield of faith of love. Lord, Father God, I forgive even as you have forgiven me. I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. Mercy and grace. Be strong in mercy. Be strong in grace. You know, the Bible says that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and give an account for everything we've done in the body. What you stand by down here, you will give an account for up there. So it's good to be merciful, good to be gracious. That's why I like to say it. So I'm going to be full. Hey, Lord, there's a shield of love. There's a shield of love that casts out all fear. Put it this way. Think of it this way. Maybe you're dealing with a bitterness issue or a fear of what that person can do to you again. You can rest in one thing. Even though they may be hiding their hand from you, even though you might not know everything that's going on and everything that they're doing or thinking about or could do, there is one who does. Know them completely. All things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. So instead of having bitterness games toward your brother, just look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and know He has perfect vision of that person. I don't have to have perfect vision. I just need to look at Him. He's got vision of that situation. And He'll show me things to come by His Spirit. But if I'm looking this way, I won't pick those things up. There's a shield of love. the shield of doing things His way. It's grace. It causes you to trust in Him. My trust is in Him. I'm looking to Him. There's a shield of faith right there. Faith in that love. Faith in those love scriptures. Don't figure out a way in your own mind to circumvent or loophole your obligation to let all bitterness and wrath and anger. No, that's the word of the Lord. You know, some of those scriptures that we say ouch at the most, those are some of the most powerful scriptures that will extinguish those fiery darts of fear of what they could do next. And bitterness, there's a reason why the enemy has us run off from these scriptures. Do we hardly, they just kind of go over us. No, meditate on them. Be kind. You know, if it's bad enough, you got to forgive. It goes on to say, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. All right? Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ did you. It's walking in a different place, isn't it? You can't do this from your natural reasoning. The enemy will talk you out of this and throw some scriptures on it. Remember when Jesus was talking to the enemy? He said, throw yourself down from here. It is written, the angels have given charge over you. See, the devil will try to mix even some scriptures to try to support that natural reasoning. Say, no, it is written. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. My faith, my trust is in Him. It's a shield of faith. I'm going to take it up. You know what I'm saying? There's different areas, isn't there, that we develop that shield of faith in our lives. That faith, it's faith in something. It's faith in the Word of God. That Word that's a shield to us. And then finally, final exhortation, let the shield do the work. Let the shield do the work. It's not my job to extinguish the fiery darts. It's my job to just take up the shield. All right? That shield has the ability to quench the fire. My human reasoning can't do it. The shield can. The shield has the ability in it to do it. Again, Ephesians 6:16, which we started out with. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. These are just some more Genesis. This is Abram, starting out. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, don't be afraid, Abram, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices and with my song I will praise Him. Letting the shield do the work. In other words, once I have declared, it is written. I have declared what God has said to do. That's where I've got to say, you know, what about this? What about this? Nope, talk to the shield. Talk to the shield. Talk to the shield. What does the Bible say in Proverbs? It says, when you commit your way to the Lord, He'll cause your thoughts to be established. The wisdom that is from above, James tells us, is pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. And it's sown in peace. Them that make peace. God will give you wisdom about that dart, but it's going to be in His voice. It's not a voice of fear. And that's what the Scripture means when it says, you have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received a spirit of adoption by which you cry, Abba, Father. When Abba, Father is talking to you, it's a child-parent relationship. All right? He's not scaring you about everything that could go wrong. That's the enemy doing that. There is wisdom with the Lord. But as far as talking to the enemy, trying to engage in mind games, no. Lord, my trust is in you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. I don't know where you're going to do it. I'm just fully persuaded that you are able to do what you've perform that which you have promised. Excuse me. So that shield, it's like a buffer. All right? So the Lord kind of put it to me once this way too. As far as kind of letting the shield do the work, just that revelation about, and I don't know, I was probably on Oklahoma, driving to Oklahoma, one of those big deals, and I just get out halfway and your windshield is just full of bug guts, you know, if you've kind of taken in big long rides. And it's just like the Lord, just like, you know, how many of those bugs did you have to worry about getting in your eyes on the way down here? None. None. No, shields are up. Shields are up. What about that one or that one or that one or that one or that one? Shields are up. Bug guts. There's something about having your shield up and knowing your shield's up. I'll tell you what, people can say things to you when your shields are up. Bug guts. When your shields are down, fiery dart. You got to let the word do the work, right? I'm getting the shield up. Praise God. Shields are up. I'm not figuring it out. It's my job to push the button to get the shield up. It is written. That's my job. There's something about that word that does the work, that can quench that fiery dart. I'm going to let the shield do the work. So as I'm standing behind the shield, the work is being done. What happens really also logistically? There's multiple things going on. While Ephesians 6 is going on in terms of the quenching of the fiery darts, Romans 12 is going on. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Multiple things are, you're growing up spiritually. It's like, you know, praise God. I have not been given a spirit of fear. All the thing that I know is that I haven't been given a spirit of fear. I'm not going to argue with about it. I'll let the shield do the work. Hiding behind the shield. Yeah, hiding behind that shield. Praise God. Safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they're safe. If it's you versus your macho eagle, you're no match for the enemy. It's you humbling yourself under his mighty hand. See, these weapons are powerful through God. And as you humble yourself and say, Lord, my trust is in you. There's no arrogance in this. Sometimes you can preach this stuff almost from a side of human arrogance, like tough macho. That's not it at all. It's like, okay, Lord, I need your word. I need your strength. That's where it comes from. That's where my help comes from. It comes from the Lord. So shields are up. Praise God. Things happen. I know that, like I said, that shield protects me. The bugs can hit the window, and I didn't even know they were going to hit the window, but my shields were up. Same with you. Getting the shields up in the area, you know, that you're walking with God. And then, finally, I just want to say, one of my teachers at Rhema just kind of was fond of saying something. It was a confession that he had over his life. And he'd just say this about himself, you know, when he's fighting the good fight of faith. He'd say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to say, I'm going to make it. As you're fighting this good fight of faith. As you got that shield of faith up, I'm going to make it. What about that dart? I'm going to make it. Quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Whatever that is, it's going to be extinguished. And I'll tell you what, you get that shield developing, extinguishing darts, and you see some other people kind of going through some things, you got some stuff to impart. Praise God, he extinguished it here, 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 here. I'm going to make it. And I'm just going to close with this one psalm. Lord, this is David. How they have increased who troubled me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice. He heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke. The Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who've set themselves against me all around. Why? That's a lot of people. Shields are up. A lot of bug guts, but my shields are up. It doesn't matter the number, does it, when your shields are up? Your shield is up. Quench all the fiery darts. Quench all 10,000. And of course, I'm speaking figuratively, you know, as powers, principalities, the things that we deal with in our lives and our minds. From David's perspective, you, O Lord, you're a shield for me. My glory and the lifter up of my head. This is something you're going to find, too, as you lift up that shield and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you as you begin to declare the word. Courage will come into your spirit. Peace will come into your spirit. There will be an aggression that's of God and that's right and it's clean and it's holy and it causes you to not fear the enemy. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That greater power and strength rises up in you. It's not like you're fighting the devil. It's like, praise God. This is the armor of God. These weapons are powerful through God. And it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. You got that David versus Goliath? You know it's his strength. You know it's his might. You know it's his name. And finally, one of my favorite songs of all time we sing here, it simply goes, I will bless the Lord forever. I will trust him at all times. He's delivered me from all fear. He has set my feet upon a rock. And I will not be moved. I will say to the Lord, you are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, very present help in time of need. Whom have I in heaven but you? and there's none I desire beside you. You have made me glad. And I'll say, Lord, you are my shield, my strength. There is nothing like that dart on the other side, the shield there. And not only are you behind the shield, but you're behind the shield with joy, gladness, strength. Not intimidated by the dart. A tangible presence of the Spirit of God. Making you glad. Strengthening. The Apostle Paul put it this way. Strengthening you with might by His Spirit in the inward man. That strength rises up on the inside of you. Praise God. So taking up the shield of faith. Don't fear the darts, whatever it is you're dealing with. Common to man. Millions have overcome it, quenched it. And you have that shield that can quench it, whatever it may be. Get firmly persuaded. You got a choice when those thoughts come your way. Like Abraham, he had to get fully persuaded that what God had promised, he would perform. In other words, I'm believing God, whatever that dart may be, there is a promise in him. He'll perform. I'm going to get that promise in between me and the dart. And then finally, let the shield do the work. Don't argue with the devil. Don't argue and fuss in your mind. The Bible talks about casting your cares in the Lord. You got the dart, you got the shield of faith. My trust is there. Like we said, talk to the shield. If you get tempted to get drawn off into an argument. You know, one time I heard a guy say it this way. You know, the word, you know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You know, that tower could be a 10-foot tower and you could be on top. But the enemy knows how to just say those little suggestive thoughts to you and provoke you and intimidate you and patronize you to get you barreling down those stairs to want to fight him. But as long as you stay in the tower, you're safe. It's kind of the same way of letting the shield do the work. You know, he's going to argue, he'll fuss, he'll intimidate. You don't get it, you don't know it, you're weak. It is written. It is written. It is written. Lord, you are my shield. You're my strength. There's humility that will come out of that. The devil plays on your pride. But, there, you know, the Lord will develop humility in your life as you continue to look to the Word and let the shield do the work. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that there is a shield of faith, part of our armor that we can take up. And in the taking up, that doorway, oblong shield of faith can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. That shield of faith covers everything that pertains to life and godliness. Those exceeding precious promises are full armor. Your shield, Father. That doorway of persuasion. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We make this our confession this morning. If your heart can agree, go ahead and make this your confession. Heavenly Father, I know I have an adversary. I don't fear the darts. Because those darts are extinguishable. Common to man. But the weapons of my warfare are not common. They're powerful through you. One of those weapons is the shield of faith. It's a doorway of persuasion that diffuses the reasonings of the enemy. It extinguishes those fearful thoughts. It's a shield of faith. Trusting your word, declaring it is written, placing your word in between myself and the dart, letting the word do the work, always looking back to your word, always being led by your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the shield of faith. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. I believe in my heart you died on that cross for my sins. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe, you love me. I receive that love now. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name.